Well, welcome everybody. Didn't the Cornerstone kids do a great job? We are so thankful that you all have joined us, that you have joined us this morning for worship. If you're joining us online, thank you so much for tuning in. We apologize for the late start, and so we're glad that you're with us this morning. If you would just say hello, we would love to make you feel welcome online as well, but we are so glad that you're with us this morning. You'll have to bear with me just a little bit. I've been sick this week, and so if I try to keep my distance, just know I don't dislike you. I've just been a little sick and don't want to spread it on. I may take a drink from time to time while I talk this morning. February is behind us, right? Yes, absolutely. I am pumped about that. That means that warm weather is on the way. Which I am super excited about. That also means that here soon we are going to start seeing the buds pop out on the trees. We're going to start seeing the green growth push up through the ground. We are going to see plants that have a future ahead of them that are just getting started. And I love this time of year because it feels to me kind of like the world has its own kind of reset. All of the plant life that had bugs eaten through the leaves or had some decay on it, that is gone. It's dead through the winter. And now we see fresh growth pushing up through the ground. And what I love about this time of year and what about this time that where we have kind of a reset is right now, all of that growth has the potential to live a healthy and growth-filled life. All of the fresh plants that are pushing through the ground, all of the leaves that are budding out on the trees have the potential to live a healthy and growth-filled life. And we're going to try to have a small garden this year. And our hope is that as we plant those plants and put those seeds in the ground, that each plant that we plant and each plant that we grow would have the best, most healthy, and growth-filled life so that we can reap the benefits of all the growth that that plant offers. And all this thought about a reset and the growth that's coming this spring got me thinking, what if we took this morning and we said, all right, this is my reset. And what if we took this morning and we said, all right, this spring, as all of the plants start to grow, I take this moment and I ask myself, starting now, how can I live a healthy and growth-filled life? How can I begin right now to say, all right, from here on out, I am going to live the most healthy, growth-filled life that I can possibly live? What would it look like for us as humans to live a healthy and growth-filled life? In the book of Matthew, Jesus is talking to the religious leaders, and the religious leaders ask him a question. They ask him, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus says this. He replied, you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your being, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You must love your neighbor as you love yourself. All of the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. Now, before we go any further, I want to focus on the end of this verse before we jump back up to the beginning of what Jesus said. Jesus said to these religious leaders, all of the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. And I love that Jesus says this because Jesus is speaking to the religious leaders. Jesus is speaking to the people that have followed God for generations. Jesus is speaking to the people that, as religious leaders, are encouraging people around them to follow God to the best of their ability. As a religious leader, these people would have memorized the first five books of the Old Testament word for word. They would know them forward and backward. Included in these five books are the law of Moses, which would have been the law, the command that these religious leaders were asking about. What they were trying to do was trick Jesus, because they knew this law forward and backward. They had the first five books of the Bible memorized. And often when we think about the law of God, we think about the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments found in these first five books, not only were there the Ten Commandments, but these religious leaders would help people understand how to live out the Ten Commandments by saying, here's some things to do to help you honor your father and mother. What does that look like? Well, you do this and this and this and this. And when it was all said and done, the law was over 500 rules that people tried their best to live day in and day out. And so these religious leaders come to Jesus. They're like, what's the greatest? What's the most important? You tell us. And their goal was to be able to say, well, what about this one? And Jesus, he's so brilliant. What he does is he says, listen, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to narrow this down. I'm going to make it really simple. Every law that you try to follow can be narrowed down to two things. Love God. Love others as you love yourself. Two things. Love God and love others as you love yourself. What Jesus is saying is, if you can do these two things and you can do them well, you are going to have a healthy and growth-filled life. And every other law that you are trying to get everybody else to follow, it's going to fall in line if you can do these two things. We have to focus on the main things. If we want a healthy and growth-filled life, we have to focus on the main things. About 10 years ago, I started coaching my kids in soccer. And I had played a little bit of high school soccer. I was not great by any means, but I understood the game. And so my oldest son was about 5 years old, and I was surrounded by all these 4- and 5-year-olds excited and ready to learn the game of soccer. And so I knew kind of, you know, the positions and the plays and the object of the game and some different ways to accomplish that object. And so I gathered all the kids around me and got all excited. And I started telling them about the game of soccer. And I started talking about the positions we're going to play and what we're going to do and some of the rules. And these kids are just looking at me like completely zoned out. And Kirsten came over to me and she's like, CJ, they just want to play soccer. And what she was telling me is, listen, you could explain the rules to them all day long, but explaining the rules, you're going to lose them. They've got to focus on the main things. And so I don't know if you've ever tried to narrow down the rules of a game to just the main things, but it's really, really hard. So what I tried to do is I tried to narrow it down to just three things. Don't use your hands. If the ball goes out of bounds, stop and try to score in the goal you're supposed to score in. Those were the three things that I tried to get them to accomplish, because here's what I recognized. I could explain all day long, but they were going to get disheartened trying to follow all the rules, that they were going to miss out on the joy of a healthy game of soccer. But if they could focus on three things, if they could not use their hands, if they could score in the goal they're supposed to score in and stop when the ball goes out of bounds, everything else was going to come along. If they could focus on the main things, the rest of the rules would naturally begin to be followed as they played a healthy game of soccer. And as we think about living a healthy and growth-filled life, if we can focus on the main things, like Jesus says in the book of Matthew, all the other stuff is going to come along as we focus on those main things. And those main things are this: love God with all of your heart, all of your being, and all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. The first one, love God with all of your heart and all of your being and all of your mind. We recognize this as Christians, like, yeah, we love God. We're supposed to love God. That's a great thing. But I think this is so much simple than we have made it out to be. God just wants us to love him. And so often I think we fall into this trap of saying, well, all right, so if I'm going to love God, then I have to make sure that I do this and this and this and this, and that'll prove to God that I love him. Or if I'm going to love God, I got to make sure that I clean up this area of my life because, you know, I can't go to God with this kind of messed up area of my life. So when I get these ducks in line and when I get my things in order, then I'll be ready to love God and he'll accept me. And Jesus says, listen, the first commandment, before you do anything else, love God. God just wants us to love him. There's no prerequisites. There's nothing we have to do first. We can come to God with all that we are, all the mess that we have created, and God's not going to look at us and go, oh, wait, hold on, stop, step back, clean yourself up first. No, he's just going to open us up and wrap us in his arms. He just wants us to love him. He doesn't tell us we have to get everything right first. The first thing we do is love God because he is wildly in love with each and every one of us. He just wants us to love him. There's no prerequisites. Second thing Jesus says if we want to live a healthy and growth-filled life is love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. We do a pretty good job of promoting this idea of loving other people well. Growing up in a Christian community, I have realized that something that I'm supposed to do is love others well. And I cannot tell you the amount of sermons that I have heard and the amount of sermons that I have preached that have been about loving others well. And I've said phrases and I've heard phrases like, God first, other second, me third. Sacrifice yourself for other people. Put others ahead of yourself. Make sure that you are loving others and make sure that you are giving of yourself to others. Now hear me, loving others is super important. And I think that we need to do that well. We need to love others well. But I think in communicating the importance of loving others well, we have accidentally communicated a message that we never intended to communicate as the church. And I think the message that we accidentally communicated was that in order to love others well, we have to not love ourselves. In order to love others well, we need to make sure that we are hurting ourselves. But true growth is found, as Jesus says, when we can love others as we love ourselves. True health and true growth is found when we can not only love others well, but we can love ourselves well also. Jesus said, love others as you love yourselves. There's an expectation in that phrase from Jesus. The expectation is that if we are going to love others well, then we are loving ourselves well also. Hear me. Jesus never tells us to love others at the expense of ourselves. Jesus never tells us to love others at the expense of ourselves. Jesus tells us to love others as we love ourselves. Excuse me. If we want a healthy and growth-filled life, we have to love ourselves well so that we can love others well. We have to love ourselves well. And so the question becomes, how do we love ourselves well? How do we do that? In this world where we should be loving others well, in this world where, if we're honest, it beats us down, in this world where we are trying to go out and live the most healthy and growth-filled lives we can possibly live. How do we, in a very practical way, love ourselves well? This is where it gets really, really hard. This is where it gets really, really challenging. And this is where we tend to go, all right, well, maybe I don't need to do that necessarily. The best way that we can love ourselves, and hear me, the best way that we can love others is when we have healthy boundaries in our relationships. The best way that we can love ourselves well, and the best way that we can love others well, is by having healthy boundaries in our relationships. Boundaries are vital. Listen, we understand boundaries when it comes to our physical property. We put up fences. We make sure our neighbor's dogs are in fence areas or on leashes. We make sure at night we lock our doors because we don't want anybody coming into our house. We understand physical boundaries. But in our culture, relational boundaries have become something that we back away from. Relational boundaries have become something that are just a little bit too difficult to really put up. But hear me, boundaries, relational boundaries are vital to loving others well because they allow us to love, protect, and refill ourselves so that we can continue to go out and love others also. When we can put up boundaries to protect ourselves mentally and physically and emotionally, when we can protect our time and our energy, you guys, that may feel selfish, but what Jesus is saying is we've got to love ourselves well so that we can love others well. There were times, and you can look in the book of Mark, where crowds were surrounding Jesus. They were begging for him to teach and to heal and to do miracles and to do this and that. They were begging his disciples to heal and teach and to serve them. And Jesus at one point goes, guys, to his disciples, it's time. It's time to take care of yourselves. Step away, go in a boat, go across the lake, and take some time to take care of yourselves. Jesus understood boundaries. And a healthy and growth-filled life is a life lived with healthy boundaries in our relationships. A healthy and growth-filled life is a life lived with boundaries in our relationships. Now, I did an entire series, like 3 or 4 weeks, on boundaries this past October for our students. And so if you want to hear a whole lot more on boundaries, I encourage you to go check that out on our Facebook page or YouTube page. But today I'm just going to give you just a real short, very quick overview. So how do we set a boundary? Because this is so important for us to understand. And guys, I have been way behind the game. I told our students this when I talked about this. Like, if they can learn at their age what I am now learning in my 40s, holy cow, their lives are going to be so much more healthy and better. And if we as humans can start to learn this and put this into practice now, rather than 10 years from now, we are going to live a more healthy and growth-filled life. So here's how to set a boundary. First, love and understand yourself. Love and understand yourself. What is it that makes you tick? What are some things that bring you joy? What are some things that give you energy? What are some things that drain you? What are some things that people do that just irk you? What is it that helps you love and understand yourself. Here's how to love yourself well. Just some ideas, right? Tell yourself how loved you are. How often do you look at yourself in the mirror, honestly, and tell yourself how loved you are? How often do you listen to others when they tell you how loved you are? Another way we can love ourselves well, listen and believe others when they tell us how loved we are. How often do we receive a compliment and we're like, no, you know, like, thank you, but really, I didn't really do so much. Oh, thanks, but it was really this other person. When we can accept compliments, when we can accept love, we begin to love ourselves well. Another way to love yourself well. Live out this truth. You are not defined by your mistakes. You are defined by God's grace. You are not defined by your mistakes. You are defined by God's grace. Jesus took care of your mistakes. Now, does that mean we need to keep repeating them? No. We continue to move forward and be better. But we have become such a culture where we just kill ourselves. And man, if we can get in the habit of saying, oh, I messed up. I'm really sorry. I'm going to do better. And we work on doing better. And we stop this horrible habit of just killing ourselves, of beating ourselves up, of tearing ourselves down. You're not defined by your mistakes. You're defined by God's grace. And Jesus said, I loved you enough. I think you are valuable enough that I went to the cross for you. You didn't have to do anything. I just thought you were that valuable. We need to start living that in our own hearts. So the first thing, to set a boundary, we've got to begin to love and understand ourselves well. Second thing that we can do to set a boundary, identify when a boundary is crossed. This is something that we tend to ignore. We tend to ignore that moment when a boundary is crossed. We say, well, you know, they didn't really mean it. We say, well, I guess I kind of deserved it. And what was it? What did someone do to cross a boundary? What was said? What was done? Were you not listened to? What was done in your life that crossed a boundary for you? And listen, like I said, don't ignore that moment. We are in a horrible habit of letting people cross our boundaries and hurt us and just completely letting it go. And I have 4 kids. And I would never let someone hurt my kids. But how often do I let someone hurt myself? We have to identify when a boundary line is crossed in our own lives. What was said? What was done? What was not done that should have been done? And the last thing is we clearly communicate to the other person what boundary was crossed and how it affected us. What boundary was crossed and how it affected us. That looks something like this. It looks like, when you said that to me, I felt really unloved. When you did that to me, I felt completely unvaluable. And here's what's going to happen. One of 2 things. One, the person is not going to care. 2, the person is going to care and do better and love you better. Now here's the beauty of this, is that when we set boundaries well, we surround ourselves with people that love us well. When we set boundaries well, we surround ourselves with people that we say, when you said that, it made me feel unloved, they say, oh, I'm so sorry, you are so loved. I won't speak to you like that anymore. And what happens is the relationship gets stronger. And you can love that person better. You are following the command of Jesus, and you are able to love someone greater because you communicated a boundary. Now, there may be those people that are like, I don't care about what I said to you. We don't cut them off completely, but we may put some space there. We may give them less influence in our lives. We may give the people that love us well more influence in our lives so that we are loving ourselves well and can love others well also. When we set healthy boundaries, we are loving ourselves in this moment and loving the other person by not allowing them to cross the boundaries in our lives. Ultimately, this will deepen the relationship. This will make our relationships stronger. If we want to live a healthy and growth-filled life, the best life that we can live is a life when we love God, we love others, and we love ourselves. Listen, if we can focus on those three things, everything else, all the other stuff that you hear us talk about from church, all the other stuff that we speak on Sunday mornings, all the other stuff that you read about in the Bible, if we can focus on those three things, everything else will fall in line. You love others well. Every other way that you treat other people, the way that Jesus wants you to treat other people, is going to fall on the line if you're loving others well. If you love yourself well, every other thing that Jesus wants you to believe and know and do and become a better version of yourself is going to happen when we love ourselves well. When we love God well, everything that God wants us to do is going to naturally flow out of our lives. Here's the thing. If I had to spend every day of my life focusing on just a few things, I could spend the rest of my life just trying to love God well, love others well, and love myself well. And if I could get better at those three things every single day, holy cow, what would my life look like 20 years from now? What would your life look like 20 years from now? Guys, this changes everything. You want to talk about growth. You want to talk about fruit. You want to talk about health. Healthy and growth-filled life is spent loving God, loving others, and loving ourselves. Every week I speak to students, I give a practical challenge. It's just something that's really, really simple. They can take it or leave it. And so I offer this to you guys this morning. You can take it or leave it. But if you want to take a next step and just say, this is the thing that I'm going to do this week to just keep this in my mind, here's what it is. I want you to pick the one that you struggle with most. Be gut-wrenchingly honest in this moment. Loving God, loving others, loving yourself. Which one do you struggle with most? Maybe you struggle with loving God. Maybe like you feel like you have to have everything in order before you come to God, and you just need to come to God. Maybe you struggle with loving others. Maybe you find yourself being judgmental or posting things. Maybe you find yourself talking down to others, and it's, you're like, I honestly need to improve that. Maybe you struggle loving yourself. Maybe you beat yourself up. Maybe you allow people to just cross boundaries and walk all over you, and you need to work on that. Here's what I want to encourage you to do this week. I want you to take a post-it note or a piece of paper or whatever it is, and I want you to either write, love God, love others, or love myself. And I just want you to put it somewhere where you'll see it. as a reminder that when Jesus was asked the question, which rule of these 500, over 500 rules is most important, he said, listen, I'll narrow all 500 down. Love God. Love others as you love yourself. Let me pray for you guys. God, thank you so much this morning for your love. Thank you for loving us so well. God, thank you for giving us relationships and the opportunity to love others well and to love ourselves well. And God, I pray for the people in this room. I pray that they would begin now and have a reset, and that they would experience the health and the growth in their lives that you desire for them. And that 20 years from now, God, they would be able to look back and say, wow, 20 years ago I was here, and now I'm so much further, and I'm so thankful. And God, I pray that you would just bless everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've got a decision to make this morning, if you need some prayer, I would love to talk to you while we sing this last song. If you want to come forward for prayer or decision, come talk to me.
Please stand and join us.